All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dr. Kirsten Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kirsten Lordson. And today I have a guest with me, Megan Barrett. We met at we've had many of these, as many of you have probably started figuring out, but I've met Megan at one of my NLP training courses. So we do very similar things, but in very unique and different ways. But we have her here today, and I'm so excited for this conversation because we are going to talk about her kind of like framework as far as how she's working with women in business and motherhood and all of the things. So, Megan, welcome.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? How did you kind of get into doing what you're doing now? Who do you work with? You know, any background that you want to kind of add to that? Go ahead.
Yeah. So I spent my entire life basically doing everything for everyone other than myself up until the last couple of years. And so I'm a middle kid. I was always very quiet, the good student. And I just kind of, that's how I learned about the world, was how do I do things for the people around me and make everyone happy and keep the peace. So very much middle kid. I started my own business about 5 years ago because I had this little crazy thought, like, what if I have something to offer the world? Like, what if me, like within myself, what if I have something to offer? And so I started a food blog, which at the time was a huge deal to me. It was like, I'm starting something, like I'm starting a business. I don't come from a family of entrepreneurs or anything like that. And so it was a big deal to me to feel like I'm doing this for me. And so I did it. I had two kids at the time. I did it like nap times before they woke up, after they went to bed. So very much like working around my stay-at-home mom life and how it fit in the cracks. And within the last couple of years, I've really done a lot of more introspective work. So like looking more inward at like, why am I doing everything for everyone else? And like, why do I operate the way I do? And that's kind of how I entered into the coaching world and how I got trained in NLP and all of the mindset wonderful stuff. Like, I just love it so much. And it's just transformed how I operate my business, what I do in my business, how I interact with my kids and my husband, just like how I see the world has totally shifted. And now I'm kind of entering this place where I have this like fire in my belly where it's like, everyone has something to offer the world. And I see so many women who are living as if the only thing they have to offer is like making other people happy or doing things for other people. So right now, I'm kind of on this mission to help people see their gifts, own their gifts, really step into that power that they have inside of themselves. And it doesn't have to mean starting a business, but it can. And it doesn't have to mean, you know, anything exactly how I'm doing it. Everyone has their own unique gifts. I am certified in human design, and I love looking at people's charts and saying, you know, here's like, this is a gift of yours. And so many people have been told that these things that are actually gifts have been told that that's where they're too much, or like, that's actually a downside. Like, you're actually too driven, or you're too whatever. And so as women, especially, we have so many of these stories in our heads. And so I'm kind of on this mission right now to like help people, you know, release all those stories and really kind of clear the fog and see themselves as a gift to the world. And like, what kind of magic do they have inside of them to share with everyone?
So good. One thing, just a quick comment, and then I actually want to ask you about human design, because I don't know if we've talked about it here yet. So we may have a lot of people that are like, what is that? But one thing I saw that was really, that really helped me, I think, in shifting some perspectives is that we just to along your story, right, is like you can still show your kids how to you know, be driven, how to be like focused in on something, how to have good, I don't know if you want to call it good work ethic or like whatever it is, like you can show your kids how to be that way, not necessarily because you are working or have a career or have a business, but you can also do it by like having hobbies and creativity and really showing them how to be like dedicated to something in many different ways, whether you stay at home or you work or part-time or you own your own business or whatever it is. There's so many different ways that we can do that. And just, I think, giving ourselves the permission to go ahead and make motherhood look however, or life in general, look however we want it to look, I think is like the best thing. And that I hear that a lot in your stories, like, how would I want this to look for me? And first, and then figuring out how to make it with surrounding my family too, and incorporating them into it, is like, it's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think about my kids so much. So I have three girls right now. They're 9, 9, 7, and 2. And so like, I know they're, whether I want them to or not, they're looking to me as a role model. And my goal is to show them what it looks like to really honor those desires that we have inside and not make them wrong or not make them too much or not push them aside. And so, yeah, if like that for me, I have other hobbies other than my business. So I mean, I love like baking and I love cooking, and I want to show that passion in whatever I do. And really, I am just trusting that they will be able to see that in me, see that in the things that I do. My business, I think it's so fun. And so I'm approaching my business as like, I really enjoy this. And so we have lots of conversations, me and my girls, about, I don't know, what does it mean to work? And like, why am I working? And like, what am I doing? And it's just, it's a fun thing to be able to step into as kind of that role model of, you know, here's what I'm doing and here's why I'm doing it. And here's what, like, you know, I see this in you too. And seeing their own gifts is super special.
I particularly like that as well, because kind of like what you mentioned at the beginning too, as far as like conditioning, and like we grow up, I think, with a lot of these like societal and cultural expectations or influences, and being able to kind of strip those away, but also show your kids a different model of how it can look. I know that there's just so many things that like I've had to decondition in a way that it doesn't have to look that way, and de-learn, unlearn what that looks like, de-learn, unlearn what that looks like, you know, and that it doesn't have to be the way that it has always, or we've been told or raised to, like how it should be, like in school or, you know, whatever. There's just so many different ways to do that. Can we talk a little bit about human design and what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. Human design is a cool system. The way that I talk about it, teach about it, share with my clients, use it. I mean, I like show it to my kids, my husband. I'm like, I love looking at people's charts and seeing different things. So what it is it's a system, and it's a tool that can help you see how you have been designed. So when it's based on your birth date, your birth time, your birth date, and where you were born. And it really is kind of like, the idea is when you're born, you're kind of like imprinted with these different energies and these different gifts. And throughout your life, you likely will be conditioned in a certain way based on your, you know, how your parents, their design, and like your siblings' design, and your teachers, and how everyone kind of views the world. And so when we look at each person's human design chart, it really shows, you know, how is your energy designed to flow? How are you designed to make decisions? What are the things that you just have to offer the world? And where are those areas that you've likely been conditioned or taught? Like, that is kind of like, there's certain areas of your chart where like limiting beliefs can really take hold, especially if your parents have a slightly different design in those areas, or siblings, we can have some heavy conditioning in those areas. There's 9 centers. If you've ever seen a human design chart, it looks kind of funky. Like when I first saw it, I was like, no, I'm not even gonna, this looks way too complicated. And I like put it aside for years until I came back to it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, okay. Like now I'm ready. Like, kind of was at a point where I was ready to start learning a little more. And it really just resonated with me. It helps me understand my husband better. It helps me understand my kids. Just a really cool system. And it is a rabbit hole. Like, I will say that you can take it. People say it takes like 7 years to fully like embody your human design and like really live into it and get into the nitty gritty and all the different parts and pieces. I don't know every single thing about the system, but I know enough to really help people change and feel like they're kind of coming back to themselves in all sorts of different areas.
Yeah. I think I think that's one of the things about, you mentioned like human design is kind of tricky, because like as soon as you get the chart, like you don't know what it means. There's no like explanation on it right off the bat. Like you have to go find the resources in order to be able to figure out what it all means. Cause like manifesting generator, projector, manifestor, generator, like none of that makes any sense unless you find like have someone who can like either read it for you or are willing to go find resources to like learn what it means. But I thought it was really, you know, I've always thought that like personality charts are like so, and systems and things like that are just so fun because you get to learn more about like yourself and like and how you do things, you know, and why you are the way you are. But like human design takes that all and like amplifies it by like a million. Cause it just, there's just so many different things that it provides and so many different categories and areas that are so very unique to you in like all aspects of who you are and like all of it. So, and then the other thing too, I think, that's cool about human design as well is that man, this is the second time my mom brain has kicked in and I've lost exactly what I was going to say, which is definitely not great for podcasting. What was I going to say on that? For decision making. There we go. Okay. We're on board. The other thing that I like, the one thing, like one major one thing about human design that I found epically helpful is knowing how to make decisions based on like who I really am and like am meant to be. And I like, it has shifted because, you know, how many times do we make decisions based off of like, well, this is what I think I should do, or this is what so-and-so would say I should do. And like, you don't even know that you're making decisions based on how you, like you're subconsciously making decisions based on like how somebody else might think you should do something, you know? It's so deep in there that like, you don't even know you do that anymore, but like you are making decisions based on that and like what other people would want and what other people need and all of those things. And then not necessarily taking into any account like what we would want and need. Right. And human design just does such a great job at like helping you kind of explore that a little bit more as far as like how we make decisions. And it changes so much. And I know you talk about burnout and overwhelm a lot in your business and what you do. And I find making decisions based on who we are and what we really like, who we really are at the core is so impactful as far as getting rid of an overwhelm.
Yeah. And I mean, according to the human design system, no one makes decisions by like thinking about it. So like those pro con lists that everyone makes, like, okay, here's, you know, I just need to think about it some more. You know, I'm not sure yet. I need to think about it. Like that's what culturally we hear so much. And really, according to the human design system, everyone actually makes a decision from somewhere in your body. And so like tuning into, I mean, it takes practice because we are so conditioned to like, let me think about this. And you're right. Like in the back of our heads, we probably have, well, what would so-and-so think about if I made this decision? And what would they think if I made this decision? And what does it mean? You know, having so much overthinking when it comes to decisions. And so, yeah, human design simplifies decisions. It takes some practice, like, depending on how conditioned we are. Some of us are much more like heavily into the thinking and overthinking, and it takes some time to really tune into like, wait, what is it what does it feel like when I make a decision? And so, depending on kind of where you're at, that definitely can be a process for sure.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you, I saw a post on your Instagram that I like loved because it's such a cool system, I feel like, of how you laid it all out as far as like boat and the oars. Can you give us that metaphor of how you are basically kind of guiding people through business, but also through, I think these would very much so be for life in general. You want to go ahead and explain what boat and oar mean?
I would love to. This is really fun because it just kind of, I was journaling one day and it was like, yeah, look at this. It just like came together and that was like, cool, this is awesome. And then I made a post. One of those things that was just like, this is perfect because it flowed so much from like where what I was thinking about, what I wanted to talk about. So the metaphor is, you know, if you're going down the river of life or business, you know, where whichever river you're on and focusing on right now, you're going to be riding in a boat, right? So the boat determines kind of like which direction you're going to float to, and like if you're going to avoid, you know, certain things or not avoid certain things, or like are you going to have a bumpy ride? It depends on the kind of the structure of the boat that you're in, right? And so the boat would be kind of your beliefs, the obstacles, actions, and thoughts. So that's the boat. And those things are kind of like, it's kind of like what you're working with, just you, what you're working with. So we have all different sorts of beliefs that we have come to own based on, you know, being raised in certain households or just witnessing certain things and deciding like, I, you know, that's the type of person I am, or that's not the type of person I am, or that's wrong, or that's right, whatever. Like we all know, you know, limiting beliefs, right?
Right.
And so it's just kind of like your boat is based on like where you're at right now and what you're working with. And then if you, so for entrepreneurs, for sure, we are always making new things. We're trying new things. We're all, entrepreneurs are a special breed because we're like, we want to be improving. We love the self-improvement stuff. And
you
so
almost have to, it almost
yeah.
forces you into it, you know?
Yeah, I know. And entrepreneurship is such like a inner world game. And I think that's either people who are drawn to entrepreneurship already are have that like mindset of like inner work and growing personal development work, or it just brings it out of you. I'm not sure which, but so whether you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to kind of go a certain direction in your river, or you're a non-entrepreneur and you want something to change. Like anytime you want something to change or you want to kind of steer your boat in a certain direction, that's where we can bring in the oar, right? That's your tool that you have when you're floating down the river in a boat. And so the oar is, the O is owning your gifts, owning your power, really like just really taking ownership and like confidence and less of kind of like this outside idea of confidence and really like that inner knowing of like, this is who I am, like owning it, really like standing there firmly. This is who I am. The A is really like taking action with intention and like from a place of owning those gifts. And then the R is really releasing any stories or beliefs or thoughts that are coming up that are telling you you can't own those gifts and act in that way. And so I really love this metaphor because it gives so much power to us and it really like kind of hinges on owning those gifts. And so with clients and in like programs that I'm creating, I'm really using human design as a way to pull out from people and identify, you know, here are your gifts. And it's such a cool system to just pair with coaching, with all of it. I love it. It's so much fun.
I it's just so well laid out too. I was like, how clever.
Yeah, I love how it came together. I was like sketching a little boat. I'm like, I think we need a tool. Let's do an oar. Yeah, it was great.
Oh my gosh. I'm obsessed with that. I love it. and it's so good though, too, because when you think about all of the different things that in any time that you want to do anything in life, like we're looking at beliefs. We're looking at both beliefs that we think we can do it or that we think we can't do it, right? Or, and then what are those obstacles that come up that might mean maybe it is literally just addressing, like, I don't think that I can do it, or like the fear that comes up, or the practicality, or the things that we need to overcome in order to do that, and then the actions that we need to take, which are all dictated by the beliefs that we have, and then all of that internal dialogue as far as the thoughts and the things that come up. Like, it's amazing how so, like, every single step of that is just it's literally how we do anything in our life. One of the things you also talked about in that same post is once you have all, like, the reason why you would want to have all of these things is because we want to be the ones steering the boat. Can you talk a little bit about the subconscious mind as far as, like, if we, and I have a story to this, but I'll let you go first. But as far as, like, when we are either in the boat floating down, or like just aimlessly, or we're not. Can you talk a little bit about what this
I think if people aren't really aware of the subconscious mind versus the conscious mind, people might reject that and be like, no, I'm totally in control of my life. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't float aimlessly. But once you start digging into how much our subconscious mind is really steering the ship, like, it's steering your boat, it's like almost unbelievable when you start to pay attention and bring awareness to some of this. So the subconscious mind, isn't it like 95% of what we do is based on our subconscious mind? It's the part that just has the habits and the routines, and it wants everything to be just so simple and easy, and it just makes things, it's great, right? Like, we love our subconscious mind. It makes everything easier. It's all about efficiency. And so just think about even like driving to work in the morning or driving to the grocery store. A lot of times we go on autopilot. We don't even exactly remember which turns we took because we've done it so many times. And then it's like, oh, we're here. Like, that's a really
when you think about that, that's terrifying. That's so, it's true. And how many people are driving, like, basically subconscious, they're just on autopilot, which is like,
I know, it's like your brain feels safe enough, familiar enough, that the conscious mind kind of sets aside and the subconscious kicks in. And so I think that you can use that example as like, sure, you could take a different route. Sure, you know, you could become very aware of every movement you're making with the adjustments in the steering wheel. However, the easiest option is to let the subconscious mind kick in and just kind of do the thing. And in life, unless we really bring our patterns to our awareness, that's kind of how we're living. Unless we really start questioning, you know, why am I responding in this way to the comment that someone made? Or why am I feeling this way when someone says that to me? Why am I getting triggered when my kids have such a meltdown? Like, most people don't question those things. And I really think that kind of has to be one of those first steps. Like, why am I doing these things? Yes, it's a pattern. And it, you know, it's a whole thing to get into, like, why do we do the things we do? But that's like a really good first question. Like, why am I, do I like that I'm acting this way? Why am I doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like, kind of bringing it back to like, whether we're the ones steering the boat or not. Like, if you think about, you and I both talk, I think, a lot to, of course we speak to people first, right? Whether it's an entrepreneur in business or a mom or anyone, really. Like, we as people oftentimes have things, I think there may not be everyone, but I would say a large majority of people want to improve something in their life. A large majority. So, not saying everyone, but like, there's always things that we might want to be better. Before I got into NLP and like going to, before I went to my level one, I didn't know any of this stuff existed, like any of it. You know, I didn't know that, I didn't have the perspective or any sort of knowledge that like what's going on in our subconscious mind is guiding the majority of what we do. I was completely unaware. I knew all the things that I didn't like, I wanted to change. Like, and I think about like moms, I think about business owners as far as like not feeling like anything's going their way or feeling like they've got so much on their plate that they like don't know how to do all the things, you know, or like, how can they even take one thing off the plate? You know, it's like everything is just, it can feel so heavy and it can feel like there's just so much to do and so much going on. Also, I would also say too, like being very emotional in some ways, whether like super angry or like super anxious, or just kind of noticing that like guilt or shame pop up all the time. Like those were all things that like I can very much so relate to before jumping into any of this, and like thinking that I'm like, you know, making decisions and controlling exactly where I want things to go. But no, like looking back now, I realize like how unaware I really was. And now, like to your point of what you said, as far as like getting really curious, it opens up the doors to really being able to kind of audit our thoughts and our patterns and our beliefs and how we go through life. And that's when we start taking our power back to being able to steer the boat where we want to go, because we're no longer just allowing for all of those patterns, all those thoughts, all those beliefs to just guide the show. It's crazy. But I like look back and I'm like, man, I was super unaware of all of these things. Like I had no, like I knew what wasn't working, but I had no idea that you could actually shift those things and like change the outcome and the results based on what I wanted to create. It's wild how much we fight our subconscious mind.
I know. And like, that's kind of, as you're saying that, I'm thinking back to before I like went into this and learned all of this. And like the feeling I get is just like so much work because you're fighting yourself.
Yeah. Like, isn't that wild?
Yeah. It's like, oh, I don't like, I don't, it's, I remember having so much frustration and like, why am I acting this way? Like, why am I responding this way in this situation? And I didn't have the tools and I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't know what you don't know, but it was just, there was such a heaviness of like, I'm unhappy with this particular situation and I'm unhappy with my response. And it's like, well, I guess this is just what life is. Like, this is how it is. And until you really know, actually, there's so much more freedom you can have. And it can be so much easier to work with your brain instead of like constantly fighting it. Just feel so much more like freedom and ease on this side of things, having that awareness. And I remember leaving my level one thinking like, everyone needs to know this. Like, why doesn't every single person have these tools? Like, why is this not taught in high school?
Oh, it should be, I think. Which goes back to, as parents, like that's one of the things that we can do, right? Is like, once we learn these things for ourselves, then we can teach them to our kids. And that, I mean, can you imagine a world? Can you imagine a world where that was the normal? Like people having tools and resources to being emotionally intelligent, first off, but then second, having the tools and the resources to like have regulated nervous systems and understand too that like triggers, things that are kind of making us feel off kilter throughout our day, are like just opportunities really to take a peek at where that came from and what it means, what we're making it mean about ourselves and our lives and what we can do to potentially shift that, like, or not just shift it, but just make changes in our life, because maybe something that's going on is just really not aligned with what we want, which is also a really good feedback. Like, imagine a world where that was, that was the normal. What would that look like? It'd be amazing.
People would be so much happier. There would be so much less like conflict. I mean, I can sort of imagine it because when I'm in the circles of people who have all been trained in this stuff, it's such a different, like, it's different conversations. It's like you can go up to somebody and be like, man, I'm just so triggered by you right now. And it's like, oh, interesting. Let's talk about what's going on in your brain. Like, it's a different conversation than if you say that to someone who doesn't have these tools or this awareness, because then they take it, they might take it personally. And then it's a whole different thing. It's like, it's just less open communication. I'm all about over communicating. And I think it just gives so many more opportunities to share. Even like, this is like what's going on in my brain. Like, I'm just sharing with you, you know, it's an opportunity for vulnerability. It's an opportunity for connection. So, I mean, yeah, that sounds pretty good, Kirsten. Let's work on that.
We probably should have started here, but this is kind of flowing into this. One of the things you also talk about is stepping into our own power and taking back our power in a sense. And that can kind of seem a little, that's a phrase I think that gets thrown out a lot that maybe people don't entirely know what that means. I know we've already touched on like aspects of it, but I just want to be like super clear and direct around like what we mean by that. Can you talk a little bit to that as far as like how we can step into our own CEO power or our own power just like in general in life, and how we can sometimes be giving our power away to things that are going on in our life and how we can maybe take that back?
Yeah, and I think that's like the whole ball game right there, right? Like that in my mind, that's like, if you figure this out, it's like life changing.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally how I got over myself and was able to have a kid. So keep going. It's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Huge thing.
Yeah. And I think it might look different for everyone, but I'll talk about what I mean when I use those phrases, because you are right. I hear it all over the place. Sometimes it even gives me kind of a little like, ooh, I don't know if I like that, how that person's talking about it. Like, but that's just me. So I think it can mean something different to everyone. And I think sometimes when you hear somebody wanting to be really powerful, it can even be like, ooh, that's scary. I don't know how I feel about power. But when I talk about power and like owning your power, owning your gifts, and really stepping into it, what I mean is knowing who you are, like what makes you you, what makes like you unique, not just unique, but also like, what do you have to offer the world? So really like that self-awareness, knowing who you are, and then like the owning piece is, it goes into like, how can we really get this on every level in the brain? Like at a cellular level, can we make sure you know who you are? Can you own it just like mentally? Can you own it from the way you're acting in the world, knowing that every action you're taking is from that place of, this is who I am, and I have full confidence in that I am being like authentic to me, and I'm being you know, loving and caring, and I'm doing this for the good of like everyone around, like all of those good things. And then also, I think a lot of times when we start to go down this path, a lot of those limiting beliefs and fears can come up when, for example, like if I want to like own the fact that I'm actually a very driven person, for a long time, I didn't want to be driven. I wanted to just be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't want to like admit that I really wanted things outside of just being like a mom. And, you know, just in quotes, like I love my kids and I love being a mom. And there was a time when I had a lot of conflict over that, over I like being driven is like a gift of mine. It is something that I can own now. But for a while, there was a lot of conflict that came up around that, around, you know, well, can I be a good mom and be driven? Like
dualities.
Can I hold both of those? And so I think, you know, in that process of really owning your gifts and your power is coming to terms with some of those things, deciding, can't like, do you want to hold both of those things? Do you want to release some of that, some of those old stories or beliefs around how you think maybe someone told you you should act, or maybe someone told you you need to act in order to fill in whatever blanks that you were expected to fill in. So I think that it can go so deep, and it can also be like showing up on social media and showing your face on the camera. Like for some people, that's like,
totally.
So a lot of people are not doing that because they're hiding and they're scared to do that. They're scared to really say, here I am and I want this thing and I want everyone to know that I want this thing. And that's a vulnerable act for a lot of people. So I don't know if I answered your question, but I got rambly. So there you go.
No, No, it was so good. And actually, I loved where you went with like the duality as far as like in the expansiveness too of like, can I hold both of being a mom and run a business? And I think either having a career or starting a business or running a business, we have all these like preconceived ideas of like what it will be like or what it's going to be like or what it should be like. And the point here that I think is just so awesome that you are such a good example of literally living it out in your life is that you can do both, and it can literally look however you want it to look, and you can make it work. This is a point that I just want everybody to know, is that like it can work how it needs to work for you, period. Like you get to decide what it looks like and how it goes. And like if you are doing that and it's not working, this is what we're talking about, is like, what is it that is maybe you're blocking yourself from being like because of a belief or emotions or things that are going on in your mind space that are preventing what you want from coming in? Like this is like really just digging through the muck of all the things to like clear it all out so that you can make it look how you want it to look. And I just believe that it's possible. It's totally possible. And I'll share my story, but why not? But like I was giving my power away in this sense, like in other words, another word to maybe say that is like being a victim to my own programming and thoughts. And like I knew, and I could see so many women and moms. I mean, like how many people are moms in our group alone, right? That like we are all trained, and like, I know most of you are moms. And doing all of these things. And yet I was still like so stuck and in conflict around having kids. I can't, like, it's not going to work. It's not going to work for me. It's not going to work. I can't see how it's going to fit for me. And the reality was, is that I was just really stuck in a lot of like beliefs and emotions and out of balance and all of the things. I mean, mental well-being, I would say, was just like, I was super burned out and overwhelmed, and just emotions were everywhere. And so I was like literally losing my power to this whole decision because I wasn't being willing necessarily. Like I was trying to like figure it all out, but like I made some progress, but I didn't make some full progress until I started really like digging into the deep rooted pieces of it. And that's when I started taking that power back, is when I started like really addressing the things. And then not only was I able to like get past making that decision, which I also think in that too is that like, I know a lot of people have kids and they just have them. And then they like get into it and they're like, oh, what decision did I make? You know, and I didn't want that. Like I knew that happened a lot, and I just didn't want that to be me. Like I wanted to address the things beforehand that I could anyway, because I felt like that's how I wanted to go into parenting. So in many ways, that was me taking my power back, right? As far as like saying like, okay, I'm no longer going to let all of this internal mind stuff and this negative thought and this negative way of looking at all of this drive the ship anymore. Like I'm done with that. And that's, again, like when you start taking along with this conversation is when you start taking your power back as far as, all right, this is no longer going to be the way we're going to do this. I'm going to choose to face what it is that the rapids, if we want to go along with the metaphor, I'm going to choose the rapids to do the work, to kind of get through all the bumpy, icky stuff. But then the other flip side of it, once I've gotten through that part, has been so much more calm. It really has been, you know, and like that is exactly what I wanted. And so going along with your metaphor here, I was the one that steered the boat to where I wanted to go. And I quite literally created it, and now I'm in it, and I'm like, oh, hot damn. Like, it worked. You know?
I think,
so I
I
love
mean,
that.
you kind of, you touched on it, I think, like in the most simplest terms, we can view taking your power back as like owning the fact that everything you do is a choice, right? You have a choice. And in just owning that, you're getting some power back. You can go through your life thinking, oh, this is happening to me. This happened to me. And then that person did that to me. Or you can go through your life thinking, I'm making this choice right now to address this. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's not, you know, the quote easy route, but this is the thing I am choosing to do, and I'm choosing to go through this. And that's like, that's powerful. And that is like, that simple switch can change so much in your life. If all you'd ever do is decide to approach everything from what choice do I have in this situation and how am I making this choice for me? Like, so powerful.
So powerful. Well, I have loved this conversation. I'm so glad that we got to kind of dive into the boat and oars. Like, what a great metaphor for steering the ship of your business or your life or whatever that looks like. Is there anything else that you would love to add to this that you think I didn't ask about, or that we didn't touch on?
You know, I don't think so. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I feel like every time, I cannot get like the metaphor out of my head. Every time I go to like journal through it, I get like new layers, and it's like, how far do I want to take the metaphor? Like, do we have a sand bank? Yes, we can have a sand. You know, it's just so fun. So if you follow me on Instagram, I'm sure I'll keep sharing about all the different layers and layers of the metaphor, and it can go and go and go. And
I love it.
It's just been so good.
I love also the metaphor that I even like touched on a little bit there is like, you can choose the rapids now to get to the clear water ahead, or you can like keep in the kind of like rocky boat for a while. It just depends on what where you want to go with it. I love it. I love
it. One of them that came up was like emotions. If you're stuck in your emotions, that's like the sandbank. You're like stuck. You're like in the, you can't move. If you're stuck in your emotions, like they just keep coming. So it's, everybody just comment on the post and come up with new
so
depths
good.
To the metaphor.
Or like,
it's so good.
Or like when you're, or you have like a downed tree or something like that, and you're stuck in the, you know, you can't get past that. Like, I just love it. They're so good. There's so many different ways you could take that. I love it. Well, thank you
thank
for
you.
sharing that with us today. If people want to find you, I will make sure that we have your Instagram link down below. And also, you might be doing a group program around this.
Yeah. I am going to be doing a group program around this.
Great.
The starting date is to be determined.
Okay.
And so depending on when you are listening to this, join the link.
Yeah.
There will be a link below this
yeah.
for you, and I will likely have kind of a training that's going to go over this metaphor in more detail and kind of how it's going to play into the group program, and I'm really excited about it. It's going to be so much fun.
Perfect. Oh yeah. So as we said, we'll definitely make sure that the link is down below. So if you want to check that out and see when her next round of it is going, that will all be there. So Megan, thank you again for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dr. K. This was so fun. Thank
It's
you.
The best. It's the best. I love all of these conversations. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any ahas or questions or things that came up from this episode, come find us on Instagram. I would love to hear what, if you have any follow-up questions, would love to have Megan back on again. I'm sure there's many different things we can talk about. So if you want to let us know your thoughts, we would love to hear them. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week with another episode. Take care.